WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Stay tuned. We do go to Mayor de Blasio right now again at that live press conference speaking about the decision of an administrative judge to recommend firing Officer Daniel Pantaleo.
That the inequities that have plagued us for generations would simply continue unchecked. But today, for the first time in these long 5 years, the system of justice is working. For the Garner family, and I've spent time with them and I've heard the pain that they have felt. It's been a very long 5 years with no sense of closure, no sense of justice. Until today, the Garner family has been failed by this entire process. And think about what they have gone through. They watched him die, just as we all did. They felt that pain. And then they were told over and over again by the district attorney, by the Department of Justice, that the government would do its job. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and nothing happened. And as all this stretched on, it reinforced the suspicion, as one felt by millions, that justice doesn't exist for people who look like Eric Garner. Today, we finally saw a step towards justice and accountability. We saw a process that was actually fair and impartial. And I hope that this will now bring the Garner family a sense of closure and the beginning of some peace. But full justice means that there can never be another tragedy like the one that befell Eric Garner. Full justice is when we never have another death. That is all of our responsibility, and it requires us to change everything. For the last 5 years, our mission has been to fundamentally change the nature of policing in New York City. After the death of Eric Garner, everything was reevaluated. The entire police force was retrained, 36,000 officers retrained to de-escalate conflict, to understand the implicit bias that we all carry with us, to ensure it would not interfere with their duty. The approach to the community is entirely different today. And we had to weed out the distance and the separation that was the norm of the past, and through neighborhood policing, actually create a dynamic where our officers and community members got to know each other as human beings, where people felt they were on the same side working toward a common goal. And we had to change the approach on the ground. Last year, there were 150,000 fewer arrests than 5 years earlier because there were too many times when people were being arrested unnecessarily and too many conflicts that came from it. And this NYPD proved that fewer and fewer people could be arrested and the city could become safer. Safety and fairness must walk hand in hand. And I hoped that today begins the process of restoring some faith and helping people believe that there actually is accountability and fairness. We have a lot more work to do. We'll be at this a long time, but we all have a sense of common mission. There can never be another tragedy like this. This city, this nation should never be put through this agony. We should never lose another innocent man or woman. We should never have people's faith undermined. It's in our power to do something better and to do something different. That is the course we set 5 years ago, and that's the course we will stay on. A few words in Spanish. Hoy, finalmente, vimos un paso hacia la aplicación de justicia. Espero que esta decisión le dé a la familia Garner una sensación de cierre. Trabajaremos para asegurarnos que algo como esto nunca vuelva a suceder. I'm going to take a few questions now, but I want to say up front, and I want to remind everyone, this is an ongoing legal matter. So there's very little I can add to my statement, but I do want to take a few questions. Yes.
Mayor, who specifically in the Justice Department told New York City to hold off? Can you name the name?
We'll get you the history, multiple conversations.
Have you personally read Judge Maldonado's recommendation, and do you agree that, you know, he should be fired?
Again, what I'm talking about today is a fair and impartial process has occurred. That's all I have to say.
Have you read?
No, I have not.
Mr. Al Sharpton said today that after this is he also wants to go a step further and call for new laws in Congress and congressional hearings. Do you support that, and what kind of law change are you looking for?
Look, I haven't heard what he said today. I know members of Congress want to look at this issue. I certainly think it's fair to say, here was a tragedy, it cannot happen again. And what I would ask the members of Congress to look at is the role of the Justice Department going forward. Remember, and I said it earlier on the radio, we had three horrifying cases that we all remember too well. The Louima case, the Bell case, and the Diallo case. In every one of them, there was prosecution either by the Justice Department or the District Attorney. What's happened these last 5 years is unfathomable. There was no decision even from the Justice Department. That's a central question to me, Marcia. That can't happen again in the future. There has to be a decision on a meaningful timeline.
What do you want Congress to do when they look at the Justice Department?
I think they have to beg this very important question. Justice Department has to ensure speedy justice. It's right there in the Constitution. There can't be a process that goes on 5 years ever again.
Yeah. The Garner family, and what has been their response?
I'm not going to go into private conversations today. As I said, it's a legal matter.
Mayor, you said that today there has finally been a step towards justice and accountability. Does that mean that you believe that the ruling was made today was just?
Yeah, I believe the process was fair and impartial. And it's the first time we've seen a decision. I want to remind everyone, over 5 years, District Attorney did not bring an indictment, therefore there was no trial. Justice Department did not bring an indictment, therefore there was no trial. For the first time, there was a trial, a fair and impartial trial, and a result. Remember that point about justice delayed is justice denied, that at least there was a trial and a result, and I have faith that it was a fair and impartial process.
You said on the radio this morning that, you know, policies have been put in place to never wait on the Justice Department again. Do you regret waiting on the Justice Department and not going ahead with the departmental trial in 2015?
Absolutely. I cannot understand how this happened. Everything I had seen my entire life suggested the Justice Department believed it was its responsibility to act when other levels of government had not, or at least to make a decision quickly for the benefit of justice. It's literally beyond any compare. I cannot find any parallel to what happened here, and it's an unacceptable reality. I did not think it possible, honestly. I didn't think it was possible under either administration federally. But now that we've experienced it, we will never allow that to happen again. Gloria.
Mayor, please, we understand that the police commissioner is going to make a final call.
judge what you personally believe should happen to this officer now?
I have not spoken to him, and that is because I respect this process. And I want everyone to understand this. If you believe that there's a fair and impartial process, and I do, then letting it reach its conclusion beyond reproach, beyond question, is necessary. And I am talking as the steward of this city. We need closure in this city. The Gardner family deserves it first and foremost, but we as a city need to end this chapter and move forward. I believe my role is to respect this process and respect the state law. And that's the best way to get to that closure. Jeff.
Could you even investigate whether you have the power to fire Officer Pantaleo?
Absolutely, and the state law is abundantly clear. There has to be due process. And I emphasize to everyone, that is an American value. Everyone in this room should value due process. The problem here is that we listen to the United States Justice Department under two different administrations, and we respected their demand that we hold back. But once it was clear they were not acting, and we moved forward, we are governed by state law, and that's what the process has been. Due process, a trial, a decision by a judge, a final decision by the police commissioner. Yes.
Mr. Carr recently died, and so did Erica Gardner about a year and a half ago. And some people have said that Erica Gardner died from the stress related to fighting for justice for her father. Can you speak a little bit about the family members of his who are no longer here to even see a conclusion to this?
It's very painful that this family's been put through hell. And part of why I'm reminding all New Yorkers of these previous horrible situations is to make clear how wrong this was. It's bad enough that an innocent man died. We all saw it, we all felt it. But when we think about the other instances that this whole city felt, we all remember the Diallo case, we all remember the Louima case, the Bell case. Justice proceeded. You could agree or disagree with any element of what happened, but there was a trial. The notion that 5 years passed without a trial, and that the place that had been the ultimate dispenser of justice failed to act in any way, shape, or form is unfathomable. And to your point, that family members died in the meantime and never got to see any closure is extremely painful, and we cannot let that happen again to another family.
So to what extent do you believe this is also a result of the immense public pressure that your administration and other parts of government were placed under? We'd be here without all the activism and people that spoke out over the last 5 years.
I respect everyone who has spoken out in their pain, in their outrage, and that's what I was saying in the beginning. I think so many people feared that we had not moved forward as a city or as a society, that injustice was simply going to happen with no result. And I appreciate why people felt that, and it cannot be. We can't move forward as a city, we can't move forward as a nation if people wonder if there's going to be any justice at all. So what was abundantly clear to me was once a fair and impartial process occurred, it would change everything that people were feeling to see an actual process. And that changes the entire discussion. That there's finally been a trial, that there's actually been a decision, and it is a fair and impartial process. Again, this is only a beginning of restoring people's faith. But this is the kind of thing that needed to happen a long time ago, an actual justice process, and now it has happened. Thank you, everyone.
This is special coverage on WNYC of the decision by an NYPD administrative judge to recommend the firing of NYPD officer Daniel Pantaleo in connection with the death of Eric Garner in July of 2014. The judge found that Officer Pantaleo acted recklessly in applying the banned chokehold on Mr. Garner. Officer Pantaleo was immediately suspended by Police Commissioner James O'Neill for 30 days while the commissioner deliberates a final decision, the rules give him 2 weeks, and the police union in Pantaleo can appeal. We just heard a news conference from Mayor de Blasio reacting to the decision and the recommendation. He said that the Garner family has been failed by the justice system until now. He says there has now been finally an actual trial, this internal trial that the mayor believes was fair and impartial. He said he cannot find any parallel in a similar case for justice having been delayed and therefore denied for so long. He said full justice is when we never have another such death. And he said for the last 5 years, his mission has been to fundamentally change the nature of policing in New York City, inspired by the death of Eric Garner. He said every police officer has been retrained and the approach to the community is entirely different today. Listeners, we are opening up the phones. What would you like to say today, hearing this recommendation for the firing of Eric Garner, and that at least an internal judge, the firing of Daniel Pantaleo, and that the judge found Pantaleo did act recklessly in applying the chokehold? 212-433-WNYC is our phone number, 212-433-9692. We invite any members of any community. We also invite any police officers or retired or former police officers at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And joining us is WNYC reporter Cindy Rodriguez, who's been covering this story. Cindy, what a day. And
yes,
I think a lot of people were holding their breath. And frankly, I was hearing a lot of pessimism from a lot of people, a lot of concern by people who wanted Pantaleo fired and found guilty, that the judge would find no legal basis on which to do that.
Yes, Brian, it has been quite a day. And what makes the day even more complicated is that we can't see the decision ourselves. So I think, as I've said earlier, we're basically relying on leaks to put this information forward. And what the mayor said today, although he also didn't offer any very specific detail on what the judge wrote in her decision. That said, people have been waiting, especially the Garner family. You know, we heard at the end of that press conference people chanting "Fire Pantaleo," as they did days before during the Democratic debates. The family has put out a statement also pushing the police commissioner not to wait and to fire Officer Pantaleo immediately.
The mayor did not explicitly confirm what your sources are telling you, that the judge ruled that Pantaleo acted recklessly and therefore has recommended dismissal. How far did the mayor go? What is at this point?
Right. I believe he actually said that he hasn't read the decision himself. So he didn't confirm the very specifics that we talked about earlier. And it's unclear if that will ever really come out, if we will ever really see that decision. The Garner family themselves have also said that they have not been able to actually read what the judge has said.
Not yet, not at this point. And are you suggesting that it may never come out, that the proceedings or the actual language that the judge is using in her decision might never be made public?
Yeah, yes. I think it's happened in past cases, and there is this law called 50A that protects an officer's personnel records, and this disciplinary proceeding and the judge's decision is seen as a form of a personnel record for Officer Daniel Pantaleo.
And yet, within the next 2 weeks, Commissioner O'Neill is going to decide on disciplinary measures.
That's
whether
right.
That is firing, as reportedly the judge recommends, or something less, that'll have to be known.
Yes, that will definitely be known. And we also know the police department put out a statement saying that Officer Pantaleo has been suspended without pay. So we also know that as well.
Suspended without pay for 30 days while this two-week period starts now. Or I guess, Cindy, it would be probably most accurate to say up to two-week period in which Pantaleo and his attorneys and I guess the PBA, the Police Officers Union, can dispute the judge's recommendation, and then by 2 weeks from now, the police commissioner is required to make a decision on disciplinary measures. What does actually happen next? How does that 2 week period go?
Well, so the judge's actual decision was given to both sides, and now both sides have a chance to respond, and their response goes back to this NYPD administrative judge, who then will give that to the police commissioner, who will then decide what to ultimately do. The police commissioner can also decide whether Officer Pantaleo leaves with any form of pension or not.
Let's take a phone call. Troy in the Bronx, you're on it's Trey, isn't it? Trey in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for taking my call. I'm very disheartened. 5 years, this man collected a check that I paid for out of my tax money. And it's like, if you reverse this, and it was some big black police officer, muscular, look like he maybe takes steroids, and he grabbed some Caucasian man out in the street for violation, so spitting on the sidewalk or jaywalking. And he was on film choking that Caucasian man out until he could not breathe. And all the time, the man saying, "I cannot breathe," until he is dead. Will we be having this conversation? That's the problem. And until we solve that, there's nothing more that anybody can say. That's why nobody wants to hear the mayor. Because you cannot say anything until you resolve that. That's all I have to say. Thank you, sir.
Trey, thank you for your call. Joseph in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Joseph.
Yeah. To me, the most important thing out of all this is that we need an independent review board, civilian review board, not politically affiliated, that it's not affiliated with the law enforcement, to review every case where a civilian is hurt, injured, or killed by law enforcement, and really review if there was a reckless use of force, reckless use of a firearm, and then recommend also what the punishment should be for this, for them to go to trial. But we cannot continue to have law enforcement investigate its own mistakes. I think we need someone totally independent.
Joseph, thank you so much for your call. And Cindy Rodriguez, there's a system that was put in place a number of years ago that came into play in this process. The organization called the Civilian Complaint Review Board, which is intended to be somewhat independent of the police department. Can you background people a little bit on how that works?
Sure. So in this disciplinary trial, there were prosecutors. The prosecutors were from the Civilian Complaint Review Board. The Civilian Complaint Review Board is supposed to be an independent agency. It's supposed to be independent from the NYPD. It is independent from the NYPD, but it also relies on the NYPD to provide evidence. So, for instance, body-worn camera footage, they have to make that request to the NYPD. The NYPD goes and looks for it and says, yes or no, you can have it. They have to rely on the NYPD for arrest records and any other personnel records for the officer. So in that way, it's a complicated relationship.
We have a statement from Pat Lynch, the president of the Police Officers Benevolent Association. He calls it pure political insanity, this decision. And here's that press release, a little bit of it. It says, PBA President Patrick J. Lynch said, "This decision is pure political insanity. If it is allowed to stand, it will paralyze the NYPD for years to come." This judge ignored the evidence and trampled police officer Pantaleo's due process rights in order to deliver the result that the grandstanding politicians and protesters demanded. The only hope for justice now lies with Police Commissioner O'Neill. He knows the message that this decision sends to every cop. We are expendable, and we cannot expect any support from the city we protect. He knows that if he affirms this horrendous decision, he will lose his police department, unquote. That's a statement from the head of the Police Officers Union, in effect, the Police Benevolence Association, Patrick J. Lynch.
Right.
And Cindy, I have to say, that is quite a thing that he threatened at the end. He knows that if he affirms, meaning the police commissioner, affirms this horrendous decision, he will lose his police department.
Yes, that is quite a statement. And it also, you know, my take on this verdict, so to speak, was that it was pretty nuanced, right? It was guilty that he used an illegal chokehold, but that it wasn't intentional. And for me, the question I have in my head is, will that make a difference when the police commissioner is deciding whether to fire this officer or not?
There are different standards under the law, and I realize this was not a criminal trial. This was an internal administrative trial within the NYPD and the Civilian Complaint Review Board, but there are still different standards for finding him culpable. One is, as you say, intent.
Right.
Another that I think the judge did find, correct me if I'm wrong, is recklessness. So if you're not intentionally trying to kill somebody, but you act recklessly in a way that results in a death, that's the nature of the finding in this case.
Right, right. And you know, Patrick Lynch's statement is very strong, and it speaks to the political atmosphere that's been surrounding this case. So we will have to wait and see what James O'Neill decides.
And I wonder, for any police officers who might happen to be listening right now, do you think what Patrick Lynch says is true, that the police commissioner will, quote, lose his police department if he decides to fire Pantaleo? And I guess by that he means lose the respect and the support of the rank and file. Now, whether that translates to police officers not doing their job, well, he's not explicitly threatening that. But if the commissioner loses the trust of the rank and file because he made this decision in this case, that could have ramifications for the city. Let's take another phone call. Phyllis in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Phyllis,
yes,
thank you
hello.
So much for calling. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah. Listen, first of all, the Garner family received a $5 million payout, okay? And firing Pantaleo is not going to bring Eric Garner back. Now, these policemen today have their hands tied. They can't even look at people crooked. And people make a remark. You know, the Italian people were harassed by the Irish cops. People forget.
Well, I think you're engaging in gross stereotypes of large groups of people. But Phyllis, let me ask you a question. If the $5 million settlement makes it okay, would you take $5 million in exchange for the life of your son or the life of your brother or the life of your father?
I wouldn't take any money. These people have their hands tied. They can't do their job. One lies, the other one swears to it. And it's good that they have the video cams on their bodies, the policemen.
Phyllis, thank you very much. Well, that certainly indicates that there are different points of view among
yes.
people in this city. And it also indicates that body cams have support on both sides, at least to some degree, where communities think that they're going to help hold the police accountable because videos will emerge of police actions. And maybe police officers also feel, and their supporters like Phyllis also feel, that they will be protected by having the body cameras. And if people lie or exaggerate about what police officers did, it'll protect them.
Right. And just to be clear, in this case, it was a cell phone video that was taken by a gentleman named Ramsey Orta. It was that video that went viral. And yes, I think that people in communities that get heavily policed do believe that their cell phone video footage can hold officers accountable and show what really happened in an incident. And body-worn cameras are also now another way to show what happened.
If you're just joining us, listeners, this is special coverage of the decision by an NYPD judge to recommend the firing of NYPD officer Daniel Pantaleo, our sources tell us, in connection with the death of Eric Garner in July of 2014. The judge found that Officer Pantaleo acted recklessly, though not with intent, but did act recklessly in applying the banned chokehold on Mr. Garner. Officer Pantaleo was immediately suspended by Police Commissioner James O'Neill for 30 days while the commissioner deliberates a final decision. The rules give the police union and Pantaleo and his attorney 2 weeks to appeal, and within 2 weeks, the police commissioner will make a decision on whether to turn that suspension without pay into a permanent dismissal, termination from the force, or whether to do something less than that. WNYC Cindy Rodriguez, who's been covering this story, is with us. We are inviting your reactions from any point of view at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And joining us now is Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, who was an NYPD officer and also a founder of the group 100 Blacks in Law Enforcement Who Care. Borough President, thank you for giving us a few minutes.
Thank both of you for this coverage and to just continue this conversation.
What's your reaction to the reported decision?
I believe the report was the right decision. In 2014, I announced that I felt we should have terminated Officer Pantaleo. Under no circumstance, I believe that we should have taken this long, and the police department should reexamine their procedures of waiting until the federal agencies or the district attorney makes a decision before moving forward. I don't think we should allow that to happen again. We do it because of what's called the GO-15 and the trial room. Whatever an officer states in the trial room or while he's conducting the preliminary investigation, it cannot be used against him, but it doesn't take away the underlying crime or incident that took place. So there was no reason we waited this long. 5 years was far too long.
Having been a police officer yourself, but also having been an advocate for police reform, what did you think of Officer Pantaleo's behavior based on the video that is out there and any other evidence that you've become familiar with?
It was a typical response on how we police certain communities. I say this often. Police officers leave their commands across America, and particularly here in New York, with a toolbox full of tools that they can use to de-escalate situations. When it comes down to communities of color or economically challenged communities, they only use the hammer, and that's what we saw. We didn't see any of the other tools being utilized. There was a great deal of time to speak with Eric Garner. He was not being violent. He was being passive in his resistance, and a trained officer should know how to de-escalate that situation. But the conversation around de-escalation is not a tool that's used in communities of color. Far too often, we go straight to the hammer, and it causes these types of incidents.
And so, Brian, just to add to that, I would say that during the disciplinary trial, one of the people who testified was the head of the at the academy. He was the head of the training, and he was shown what happened. He was shown the footage, and he identified what he saw as clearly a chokehold. And he also was asked, "Would you have acted the same way?" And he said, with his 30 years of experience, he would not have. He would have waited because there was backup. Officer Pantaleo had actually called for backup, and backup was just moments away. And you see other officers come pretty quickly. So if he had just waited, then possibly things would have gone much differently.
Because the resistance that Eric Garner was putting up was, as Borough President Adams just described it, passive. He wasn't trying to attack the police officers. He wasn't even trying to run away. He was just saying, no, you're not going to do this, not today.
Right. And I think the other thing that came up during the trial was that Mr. Garner didn't have weapons on him. He hadn't committed or allegedly committed a violent offense. This was a very minor offense.
It's so true. And it is an indictment on an agency when you cannot apprehend or detain someone for selling Lucy cigarettes. If you can't do that without causing harm to the officer, causing harm to the person who's been accused.
That's okay. You need a minute to clear your throat. It's okay.
That is problematic.
Borough President, I want to get your reaction, again, as both a former police officer and in your current position, to some of the statement that PBA President Pat Lynch released that I just read, especially the end of it. You know, besides calling the decision political insanity and other adjectives like that, he said, the commissioner, quote, knows that if he affirms this horrendous decision, he will lose his police department. What does that mean to you?
Well, there's always a belief that officers will abandon their responsibility if they don't receive the support from the leadership. And history has really shown that not to be true. There have been a series of unpopular decisions. But at the end of the day, the men and women who protect this city, when it's time to respond to a call of service, when it's time to respond to a crime, if it's as significant as September 11 or something as simple as a lost child, they rise to the occasion. This is an emotional issue. Many who are police officers are going to be disappointed, but at the end of the day, they're going to put on their uniform and they're going to carry out what they were sworn to do, and that's to serve and protect the people of this city.
Borough President Eric Adams, thank you for a few minutes today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Joining us now is daughter of Eric Garner, Emerald Snipes Garner. Ms. Snipes Garner, thank you for a few minutes on, I don't know how you feel today, if it's a difficult day or if you feel vindicated in any way. Welcome to WNYC.
Hello, how are you? Thank you for having me. Thank you.
How are you?
Mixed emotions right now.
Lay it out. Go ahead.
I'm appreciative that the evidence was laid out, and I'm appreciative that someone finally saw some wrongdoing in what Pantaleo did to my father. And we finally see that someone else sees what we saw.
Mayor de Blasio said in his statement just now that the Garner family has been failed by the justice system until now, and that finally there's been an actual trial. As you know, the mayor has said all along that this internal trial was delayed for all these years because they were waiting for first the Staten Island District Attorney and grand jury, and then for 5 years, the United States Justice Department to decide whether or not they were going to prosecute any officer on civil rights charges. Do you find the mayor to have acted responsibly in this case? He was laying it on the feds, basically.
I find that the mayor is a finger pointer. I find that he points the blame on other people. I find that he never takes responsibility or accountability for the fact that he could have fired Pantaleo immediately. So I see the mayor pointing 10 fingers, but I'm pointing all my fingers and my toes back at him because he dropped the ball, absolutely dropped the ball.
Do you have any indication of what the police commissioner is going to do? Take the judge's recommendation as we understand it, which is to fire Officer Pantaleo, or whether you think there's a big risk from your vantage point that he will do less than that?
That's great that he is going to be making the decision. I don't know how long he's going to take to make his decision. The judge didn't take too much time to make her decision. Mayor de Blasio, again, is putting it off on somebody else. Our police commissioner, I really hope that he doesn't have that same pattern of behavior. I'm applying pressure to everyone as pressure was applied to my father's neck. So I want justice now. Justice for me is opening up the congressional hearing. Justice for me is passing the Eric Garner law that bans the chokehold and any other label of the chokehold. To sit in the trial and hear them try to call the chokehold anything other than a chokehold is utterly disrespectful, and I hope that the commissioner feels the same way.
Would that law do something more than is already departmental policy, which bans a chokehold?
That law would criminally and federally and whatever criminal and federal investigations that could be done for a police officer to be charged and prosecuted for using an illegal chokehold, that's what the Eric Garner law will push forward. That you will never choke someone out on the street and think that you will walk away scot-free. As of right now, when Pantaleo is fired, he will still be a free man in America. He needs to go to jail for what he did. He murdered someone.
Ms. Knights-Garner, I think our reporter Cindy Rodriguez has a question for you. Cindy?
Hi, Emerald. I just wanted to ask how the rest of the family is. I was also curious if the mayor spoke to you, if you were able to see the decision yourself. How much detail were you given?
I've heard the news just like the rest of the world heard the news. No one called me directly. As I said before, no one looked for me a month ago. So I wouldn't expect anybody to look for me now. So I found out the decision through the media, as did the whole world. Which I'm not. I don't mind that, because I did get to speak to Reverend Sharpton, and Reverend Sharpton did speak to Mayor de Blasio. I'd rather Mayor de Blasio not reach out to me, because I don't have anything to say to him. I think I said what I said in that meeting that we had in person, and I think he pretty much gets the picture.
Emerald Snipes-Garner, daughter of Eric Garner, again and again, our sympathies, and thank you so much for some time on this difficult day.
Thank you so much for letting my voice be heard through your network. Thank you so much.
Let's take another phone call, Cindy. Aaliyah in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hello, Aaliyah.
Hi. Oh, my God. That my heart, man. I was calling to react to Mayor de Blasio's speech. I just felt his words were pretty empty, and like I'm sorry I didn't hear her name, but Eric Garner's daughter just said meaningless, as if he didn't have some sort of role, which he has. And I felt like, you know, process, and he touched on all the tropes, but he didn't say anything. And I appreciate the protesters at the end heckling him, because, you know, nothing has changed.
Well, he says, and I don't know if you have an impression of this yourself, but he says for the last 5 years, his mission has been to fundamentally change the nature of policing in New York because of the death, or at least partly because of the death of Eric Garner, and that every officer has been retrained, and the approach to the community, he characterized it as entirely different today.
Right. Well, I get my news about the police department from your show, so I don't pretend to be more informed, but I remember when the police department all turned their backs to him after that the other officer shooting, and mm-hmm. like how he reacted. And I think that all of those issues are combined in this, and it's all related to his mayorship. He's supposed to be here.
Aaliyah, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your call. Also with us is WNYC political reporter Bridget Bergen, who covers City Hall and the mayor. Bridget, I didn't hear it in the news conference. It's possible that I missed it because I didn't hear every word. But did the mayor react to the PBA president saying the commissioner would lose his police department if he, quote, affirms this horrendous decision?
I didn't hear him get asked that specifically, nor did I hear him react to that. But I think that is a real concern in terms of how careful we heard the mayor's language today. You know, while he's saying, you know, we've waited five long years and now we're starting to see justice, when he was asked specifically about what he thought of the decision, he still refused to weigh in. And I think some of that is a reflection of the experience that he went through the whole life cycle of this story. You know, this incredibly tragic story that started back in 2014, but then really dominated the early years of his mayoralty. He struggled with the aftermath where these two police officers were assassinated. And then, you know, listening to PBA President Pat Lynch talk about how City Hall had blood on its hands, blood on the steps of City Hall. I mean, it was a moment that I think is seared into the legacy of his mayoralty. And then going to that funeral, having those officers turn their back on him, and also to keep in mind, those two officers were not the only officers who died. We had other officers who died in other instances. But, you know, the number of times that we have seen police officers with the blue band on their shield because they have lost a member of the department, it is a real number over the life of his mayoralty. And yet, we have been waiting for 5 years to hear anything from this administration on what the next steps are. And to hear today a press conference where we're praising justice being done and yet we still don't actually have a decision, I think is going to be really difficult for a lot of people to digest.
Let's take another phone call. Jim in Brick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jim. Jim, are you there? Jim in Brick, is that you? We're going to try one more time. Jim in Brick. Okay. I guess not. Let's... we'll try another phone call. Zoe in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hello, Zoe.
Hi. And I remember asking the mayor if the police had received de-escalation training, and he said many had received training for dealing with mentally ill people, but he didn't, at that time, just a few months ago, they had not received de-escalation training. And I think that's still important. It's helped in many parts of the country.
Thank you very much. Now I think we have Jim and Brick. Jim, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Brian. I think a lot of attention's been put on Pantaleo. I'm not letting him off the hook. What he did brought on an asthma attack. To say that he killed him or murdered him, manslaughter, involuntary. But what I was concerned about, and I've seen other people make the point, that on the ground, Mr. Gardner did not receive proper attention. Someone in the respiratory distress should have been put either on their side, or not left on their back. That was neglectful. I don't know whatever call was. There were pictures that I saw, just personnel milling around like they were afraid to touch him. They thought he was faking. That was what was more troublesome.
Cindy?
Right. So this is a good point. So there were four EMTs actually that were suspended, and Richmond University Hospital also paid the Gardner family, I believe it was $1.9 million in a civil settlement. And also, I guess I would also say that during the disciplinary trial, a few of the officers testified that they believed Mr. Gardner was playing possum. And so they weren't taking his calls seriously.
They weren't taking his saying 11 times, "I can't breathe," seriously, right? They were arguing that he was faking. But at that time, he was on the caller said on his back. I believe he was on his belly.
He was on his belly in a prone position. That's correct. And that's also part of what the medical examiner said caused his death. And so it was...
They were holding him down.
Right. So it was a chain of events, she said, that the chokehold started. It started an asthma attack that led to cardiac arrest, and Mr. Gardner died. And it was because of, he had swelling around his neck. He was also in this prone position. There were other officers on top of him. That chest compression also led to his death.
And so what about the other officers in this case? It wasn't just Pantaleo holding him down despite him saying, "I can't breathe," repeatedly, right?
Right. There were several officers there. There's one other officer who was also charged for a failure to supervise. Her name was Sergeant Kizzy Adonis, and her disciplinary trial has not started yet. But none of the other officers, the NYPD said they investigated and they didn't find, press charges against any of the other officers except to these two. The Garner family feels that the other officers involved should also face disciplinary charges and should also be fired.
Bridget, this followed the mayor to the debate in Detroit this week when he was giving one of his answers. There was a fire Pantaleo protester, at least one in the crowd. I'm not sure if it was more than one. I don't think the words were audible to the television audience. I could hear that someone was screaming, but I couldn't make out the words. And funny enough, the police union has also followed Mayor de Blasio around the country on his presidential campaign, as you've reported on. Mm-hmm. So this issue and his relationship with the police department in general is dogging him from both sides.
Absolutely. In more recent days, when the Justice Department had announced its decision that it was not going, that it was dropping the case against Officer Pantaleo, and protesters locally talked about how there would be civil action across the city and protests across the city. One of the things that one of the protesters talked about was how there would be 11 days of action. I think we are beyond the 11 days at this point, but one of the questions that came up was, how can you run for president when this is happening? And do you intend to take some of these grievances that you are, you know, making clear here in New York City to other parts of the country? And at that point, I think I think the answer is very clear now. We heard those interruptions during the debate, both during when Mayor de Blasio was giving his opening statement, but more clearly, I heard them during Senator Cory Booker's opening statement. He, in fact, paused, and you could hear the chants "Fire Pantaleo" over, in my TV, I could hear it through the monitor. And then, of course, through the Twitterverse, I could see photos of these protesters being escorted out of the hall in Detroit.
And I was just going to add what Bridget was saying, that there's also supposed to be a protest tonight at Police Plaza, at One Police Plaza, at 6 p.m.
And so despite the recommendation by the judge to fire Pantaleo, this protest will continue? Presumably so.
Yes.
Because they will be calling for?
Yes, they are calling for the immediate termination of Officer Pantaleo. They don't want to wait the 2 weeks, and they don't want to wait for the official process to play out.
And Cindy, as a last word, the mayor said in his news conference that the Garner family has been failed by the justice system until now because it took so long. Has he been clear on what kind of reform he would institute?
We heard him say over and over again today that he wouldn't wait anymore. But I don't exactly know what that means, so I think we have to wait and see.
I guess it means he wouldn't wait for the criminal justice system to run its course before starting a departmental proceeding of some kind.
Right, and I don't know if that's an official policy change or something else.
This has been special coverage of the decision by an NYPD judge to reportedly recommend the firing of NYPD officer Daniel Pantaleo in connection with the death of Eric Garner in July of 2014. The judge found that Officer Pantaleo acted recklessly in applying the banned chokehold on Mr. Garner. Officer Pantaleo was immediately suspended today by Police Commissioner James O'Neill for 30 days without pay while O'Neill deliberates a final disciplinary decision. With Bridget Bergen and Cindy Rodriguez, I'm Brian Lehrer.